Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Vice President J.D. Vance is dismissing bipartisan outrage over a young Republican group chat that included racist and offensive messages. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the vice president should know that violent political rhetoric is wrong no matter which side it comes from.
Vice President Vance yesterday, amazingly, seemed to excuse these vile texts as just a college group chat and refused to join the pearl clutching. That is outrageous. Leave it to J.D. Vance to preach about violent political rhetoric only when it serves his interests, and then ignore or excuse it when it comes from his own side.
The Young Republican National Federation has called for those involved to step down from the organization and described the exchanges first reported by Politico as unbecoming of any Republican. The group is the GOP's political organization for members between 18 and 40 years old.
After Politico reported on racist and offensive language in months' worth of text chats between members of the Young Republican National Federation and some of its affiliates, the Federation itself is calling for those involved to step down. On the Senate floor, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer described the chat as revolting.
They made jokes about Hitler, about gas chambers. They talked about torture. They made jokes about sexual assault. They used almost every racist obscenity, including the N-word. Now, no matter who it comes from, right or left, all of us have an obligation to denounce vile rhetoric like this.
Republican leaders in Vermont, including Governor Phil Scott, called for one of the participants, Vermont State Senator Sam Douglas, to resign. Vice President J.D. Vance, however, repeatedly dismissed bipartisan outrage over the leaked messages, which he described as pearl-clutching. Jennifer King, Washington.
The Supreme Court has heard new arguments over Louisiana's redrawn congressional map. AP correspondent Mark Sherman reports.
The court seems ready to gut a key part of the Voting Rights Act that has been used to root out racial discrimination in voting. The six conservative justices each seemed ready to strike down a congressional district in Louisiana that was drawn to elect or to give black voters in that district a chance to elect a candidate of their choosing.
The Supreme Court seems like it'll vote to limit the use of the Voting Rights Act to force states to draw electoral districts that favor minorities. The court's six conservative justices, to one degree or another, seemed like they would vote to strike down a black majority House district in Louisiana because it relied too heavily on race. If they do vote to limit the act's use, it could mark a fundamental change in voting rights laws. The Voting Rights Act was the centerpiece legislation of the civil rights movement. It allowed black Americans to vote and reduce discrimination in voting. During oral arguments before the Supreme Court, Janae Nelson of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund says her opponent's argument
seek a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos.
Justice Brett Kavanaugh questioned whether there might be a point where the country no longer needs to take race into account when drawing voting districts.
This court's cases, in a variety of contexts, have said that race-based remedies are permissible for a period of time, sometimes for a long period of time, decades in some cases, but that they should not be indefinite and should have an end point.
Meanwhile, Justice Sonia Sotomayor says race is always a part of redistricting.
The state is stopping black voters from doing that in many districts because it's packing them into areas that whites overwhelm them.
A ruling for Louisiana could open the door for legislatures to redraw congressional maps across the South. It could potentially boost Republican electoral prospects by eliminating majority black and Latino districts that tend to favor Democrats. Haya Pinjwani, Washington.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from firing workers during the government shutdown.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from firing federal workers during the government shutdown. The ruling in San Francisco came as the shutdown entered its third week and days after the administration started sending layoff notices. The judge says the cuts appear to be illegal and politically motivated. Roughly 2 hours later,
it's thousands of people and it's you know, billions of dollars. We're getting rid of a lot of things that we never wanted.
President Trump again seized on the shutdown as a gift from Democrats, a way for his administration to slash their preferred programs. Federal labor unions had asked the judge to stop new layoff notices and implementation of those already issued. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
And world shares were mixed today while U.S. futures and oil prices gained. Angel Reese has made history after becoming the first professional athlete to walk in the Victoria's Secret fashion show. The Chicago Sky Forward joined the brand's high-profile Wings Reveal lineup in New York. More on this story at APNews.com. This is AP News.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AP correspondent Ed Donahue has the details on another report on the implosion of the Titan.
Investigators say faulty engineering led to the implosion of the Titan submersible heading to the wreck of the Titanic. The National Transportation Safety Board says the Titan had multiple anomalies and failed to meet necessary strength and durability requirements. It also said OceanGate, the owner of the Titan, failed to adequately test it and was unaware of its true durability. All five people were killed on the submersible in 2023, including OceanGate CEO Stockton Rush. The report also said the Titan likely would have been found sooner had OceanGate followed standard guidance for the emergency response. The Coast Guard released a report in August that described the Titan implosion as preventable and found glaring disparities between safety protocols and actual practices. I'm Ed Donahue.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
President Trump told reporters at an Oval Office event he authorized covert CIA operations inside Venezuela, blaming the South American country for allowing criminals and drugs to flow into the U.S.
I authorized for two reasons, really. Number one, they have emptied their prisons into the United States of America.
The story was originally reported in the New York Times. Trump says he is also considering land operations there.
Because we've got the sea very well under control.
Early this month, the administration declared drug cartels to be unlawful combatants. Since early September, U.S. forces have conducted at least five strikes in the Caribbean, resulting in 27 deaths. U.S. officials familiar with the matter say the administration has yet to provide evidence to lawmakers that the boats targeted were in fact carrying narcotics, and human rights groups have raised concerns that the strikes amount to extrajudicial killings. The Coast Guard continues to interdict suspected smugglers, but the president says the traditional approach hasn't worked.
We have much information about each boat that goes out.
Jennifer King, Washington.
President Trump claims India's leader has personally assured him his nation will stop buying Russian oil. That would boost pressure on Moscow to negotiate ending the Ukraine war, with Russia relying on energy sales to fund its military might.
There will be no oil. He's not buying his oil from Russia.
The president says Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi told him as much, though the Indian embassy here in Washington did not immediately react. India is the second biggest buyer of Russian oil.
That's a big stop. Now I got to get China to do the same thing.
The president's due to meet here with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky Friday. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
Journalists who have regularly covered the Pentagon for years have cleaned out their workspaces and virtually en masse turned in their badges by a 4 p.m. deadline rather than accept new restrictions on their work. The refusal was nearly unanimous. From trade publications, wire services, television networks, and newspapers, including outlets that appeal largely to conservatives like Fox News Channel and Newsmax, President Donald Trump is backing Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's new rules, once again criticizing the media as being dishonest. Reporters say that they will still robustly continue their reporting despite the loss of Pentagon access. Democratic governors from 14 states and the U.S. territory Guam have launched a new public health alliance, which they say will coordinate issues across state lines, sharing data and information about threats, guidelines, and emergency preparedness. While those are typically roles of the federal government, the governors say that the Trump administration has fallen short. It's not the first time that Democratic states have banded together. They also formed regional groups during President Donald Trump's first term to combat the coronavirus pandemic. The governor's Public Health Alliance bills itself as a nonpartisan coordinating hub, but currently all of the initial members are all Democrats. A Ukrainian delegation has met with major American weapons manufacturers during a U.S. visit. The meetings come before Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky meets with President Donald Trump at the White House later this week. A senior Ukrainian official says that the delegation met with Lockheed Martin and Raytheon. Ukraine is seeking cruise missiles, air defense systems, and joint drone production agreements from the United States. Meanwhile, Russia and Ukraine have continued their attacks on each other's energy assets with recent strikes on oil terminals and power plants. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Social Security beneficiaries will have to wait to learn their annual cost of living increase. The announcement affecting tens of millions of people was to be today, but will now be late next week because of the government shutdown. The increase is tied to the September Consumer Price Index, whose release has also been delayed while the Labor Department recalls some employees to assemble the data. That's the latest government report affected by the shutdown, and it's making things harder for the Federal Reserve, leaving it without key data amid persistent inflation and a hiring slowdown.
Particularly the October data, if this goes on for a while, they won't be collecting it, and it could become more challenging.
Chairman Jerome Powell told NABE yesterday the Fed, for now, is looking at private sector data to gauge the economy. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
A U.S. Marine says that his parents were detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials after they visited a California military base. One of them was later deported. They were initially released with ankle monitors. Steve Rio says his parents were detained last month while picking up his pregnant sister and her husband, who is also a Marine at Camp Pendleton. Rio says his parents came to the U.S. from Mexico 3 decades ago and had pending green card applications. At a later check-in with federal immigration officials, he says they were detained again and taken into custody. He says his father, Esteban Rio, who was wearing a hat and shirt that read "Proud Dad of a U.S. Marine," was deported on Friday. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
In response to ICE raids in Los Angeles, county officials declaring a state of emergency that gives them power to provide assistance, such as rental assistance, for residents they say have suffered financially from ongoing federal immigration raids. L.A. County Board of Supervisors voting 4-1 Tuesday night on the measure. Supervisor Lindsay Horvath.
We also have to move with the same sense of urgency to protect our residents, because we know that these raids have not only targeted those who may have immigrated to the United States, they have detained people who are U.S.-born citizens.
The local state of emergency can also funnel state money for legal aid and other services. Opponents argue that the raids do not meet the criteria of an emergency. I'm Julie Walker.
A Florida judge has granted a protective order against U.S. Representative Corey Mills after a former girlfriend claimed that he threatened to release nude images of her and harm her future boyfriends. The order, issued Tuesday, prohibits Mills from contacting the woman or going within 500 feet of her home or workplace. It also bars Mills from mentioning her on social media. The order is effective through the end of the year, with violations potentially leading to fines or imprisonment. Mills, who is a Republican, has denied the allegations. In August, when the allegations first surfaced, Mills said that they were being pushed by a former political opponent. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
It's being called one of the most significant airlifts in Alaska history, evacuating hundreds of people from coastal villages that were inundated by remnants of Typhoon Halong. A record storm surge swept away homes, some with people still inside, leaving 1,500 residents in makeshift shelters.
The recovery is just complicated because these are remote communities, because there is no road connections, where and many of the airstrips, you know, are not big enough.
Rick Toman at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Even in the best of circumstances, this would be a logistical nightmare.
Roughly 40% of those living in some 10 affected communities are being forced to evacuate.
We're now, into mid-October. Freeze-up is coming.
I'm Ben Thomas.
A discarded straw leads to murder charges in the 1984 killing of a New York teenager. Richard Bilodeau is facing two counts of murder in the death of Teresa Fusco. Three men were convicted of killing and raping the teenager and served several years in prison before they were exonerated by DNA evidence in 2003. It was also DNA from a discarded straw that led to the indictment of the new suspect. Fusco's father, Thomas, was in court as Bilodeau pleaded not guilty. He said it was heartbreaking to relive his daughter's death over and over again, but expressed hope that the arrest was a finalization of the ordeal. Last year, investigators recovered a cup and straw they say Bilodeau used and discarded at a smoothie cafe. DNA extracted from the straw matched a sample taken from Fusco's body in 1984. I'm Ed Donahue.
A person in New York testing positive for the chikungunya virus in what state health officials say is the first reported transmission of the mosquito-borne illness within the U.S. in 6 years. It's not clear how the Nassau County resident got it. They did not travel outside the U.S. where chikungunya has been spreading, specifically in China. Health officials say the person was likely bit by an infected mosquito, but they also say the virus has not been detected in local mosquito pools, and there is no evidence of ongoing transmission. Chikungunya cannot be spread directly from person to person. The illness is rarely fatal, and most patients recover within a week, though newborns, older adults, and people with chronic health conditions are at higher risk. Julie Walker, New York.
J.M. Smucker is known for its jams and jellies and peanut butter. And way back last century, it introduced Uncrustables, a frozen PB&J sandwich with crust trimmed and edges crimped like a pie. Now Trader Joe's has introduced a similar product, a little more square in shape, but Smucker's not happy. The company says it does not take issue with others in the marketplace selling prepackaged frozen thaw-and-eat crustless sandwiches. It's the design and packaging that it says is too similar. The same blue color used in Uncrustables lettering and a picture on the box of a sandwich with a bite taken out. That's all laid out in a lawsuit seeking restitution from Trader Joe's and surrender of all products and packaging to Smucker to be destroyed. I'm Ben Thomas.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Most stocks rose on Wall Street following another topsy-turvy day of trading. The S&P 500 added 0.4% Wednesday. The index started the day on track for one of its biggest gains since the summer, erased it all around lunchtime, then climbed back in the afternoon. The Nasdaq Composite rose 0.7%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lagged the market. The Dow edged down 17 points. That's less than 0.1%. Technology and bank stocks helped lead the way. Bank of America climbed 4.4%. ASML, a Dutch company that's a key supplier to chip companies, rose 3.1%. Treasury yields rose in the bond market. Seth Soutell, New York.
The Radio City Rockettes, ready to welcome the holiday season in New York City. This is the dance company's milestone centennial year, and they were showing off their unbelievably high kicks at rehearsals ahead of the big opening. Rockettes performer Megan Kelly is in her 11th year.
In the show, we have some classic numbers that audiences can expect to see. The Parade of the Wooden Soldiers, for example, which has been in the show since 1933. We also have some new technology. We have Sphere Immersive Sound, which will deliver crystal clear sound to every single audience member, no matter where you're sitting in the theater.
The show opens November 6th, audio courtesy MSG Entertainment. Julie Walker, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had four hits and one of his team's five homers in a 13-4 Blue Jays rout of the Mariners to pull within 2-1 in their American League Championship Series. Guerrero spoke through interpreter Hector LeBron.
It feels great, obviously, but for me, just about winning.
NBA, the Sacramento Kings agreed on a 5-year, $140 million contract extension with forward Keegan Murray. 2017 MVP Russell Westbrook is also joining Sacramento for his 18th season. Former Rookie of the Year and Sixth Man of the Year Malcolm Brogdon has retired after 9 seasons. NFL, 49ers, Pro Bowlers Brock Purdy and George Kittle return to practice. In college football, Alabama's Ty Simpson edged out Indiana's Fernando Mendoza for first-team quarterback on the AP Midseason All-America team. The NBA has reminded teams to focus on addressing inappropriate fan behavior at games this season. In a memo sent to all 30 clubs, the league emphasizes the need for consistent enforcement of the NBA fan code of conduct. This move comes after several incidents last season, including ejections of fans in Dallas and Minnesota for misconduct. The memo highlights the importance of training arena staff to identify and respond to rule violations. The NBA season opens Tuesday, with games featuring Houston at Oklahoma City and Golden State visiting the Lakers. The Big 12 fined Kansas $25,000 for Coach Lance Leipold's statement that a pocket knife was thrown at his staff during the Jayhawks game at Texas Tech last weekend. The conference said Wednesday the allegation was inaccurate and Leipold's comments after the 42-17 loss to the Red Raiders were, quote, disparaging. Speaking about Tech fans' tradition of throwing tortillas onto the field, Leipold said a pocket knife was also thrown in the third quarter of the game. Leipold apologized for what he called, quote, an emotional reaction. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Each of the 20 living hostages released by Hamas are beginning a difficult path to recovery. Israeli health officials say that will include a supervised diet, treatment for pain and malnutrition, and rebuilding a sense of control over their lives after 2 years in captivity.
Every one of them has endured untold adversity and horrors.
Dr. Itai Pesach is with the Sheba Medical Center, where 10 former hostages are hospitalized.
They will probably need weeks, months, and maybe years to heal.
Many of the hostages wore leg chains for their entire captivity, which can lead to orthopedic problems, muscle waste, and blood clots. Refeeding syndrome is another issue and can be deadly. Rebecca Bobot says her husband is suffering because ahead of his release, he received food in big quantities so that he would look better for the world. Dr. Haggai Levine, head of the health team for the Hostages Family Forum, says previous hostages had untreated strokes and infections and compromised immune systems. I'm Jennifer King.
Germany's pledged more than $2 billion worth in military aid for Ukraine, as the government in Kyiv signals it would need $120 billion in 2026 to stave off Russia's nearly four-year all-out war. First off, Berlin would buy $500 million worth of U.S. weapons under a new program to fast-track military equipment. Estonia, Finland, Lithuania and Sweden say that they would also participate in this funding initiative. Pistorius adds Germany would separately provide another two IRIS-T air defense systems, including a large number of guided missiles, as well as shoulder-fired air defense missiles. Anti-tank weapons, communication devices, and handheld weapons would also be in the package. Colonel Michael Randriani-Rina, the military unit leader, tells the AP, according to the ruling issued by the High Constitutional Court, I'm taking the position of president. These friends of mine are with me. There must be an oath-taking.
Randriani,
who led a rebellion of soldiers that ousted President Andry Rajoelina, says he expects to be sworn in as the country's new leader in the next few days. He adds he's taking the role as head of state after the country's High Constitutional Court invited him to do so in the absence of the ousted president, who fled Madagascar following the uprising. Protesters have been demanding better government and more opportunities in a country with deep problems with poverty, echoing youth-led protests elsewhere in the world. Former Kenyan Prime Minister Raila Odinga has died of a heart attack in India. He was 80 years old. A statement from a hospital in Kerala state said Odinga hadn't responded to resuscitation efforts. The Kenyan statesman had run for the presidency 5 times over 3 decades. His populist campaigns had challenged one-party rule, rattled authorities, and gave him an outsized influence on political life in the East African country. President William Ruto has now declared a 7-day mourning period and called Odinga's death an immense and immeasurable loss. Ruto says Odinga will have a state funeral. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.